Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hi, I'm Rob Schneider.
And I'm Kevin David Thomas.
And this is our favorite things. Happy Throwback Thursday, Kev.
Hashtag TBT.
Hashtag TBT. How are you?
Good, very good.
What's going on today? How's your week going?
Oh my God, it's good. It's hot. It's too hot.
Happy summer.
Yeah, you know what? I avoid turning on the air conditioner because I didn't grow up with air conditioning. And so like I will be the last one to turn it on because we just didn't have it in Elmira, New
York,
where I grew up. No. But I'm telling you, it was time. I got home and I was like, we're pumping it up and we're going to like, no more.
I have a unit in every window. I have an industrial fan that I stole from somebody that I keep in the hallway.
Brilliant.
I feel bad because I think somebody was like painting their apartment and they had the fan going to dry and they took it out. My feeling, if you live in New York and it's outside somebody's door, that usually implies they don't want it anymore.
Yeah, I would say that unless it's an umbrella or shoes.
Yes, I took that once and people were not happy. The umbrella was attached to a child who was holding it, but I thought, it's outside of your apartment. What are you going to do with this five-year-old?
It's raining.
It's raining. I need the umbrella. He can fend for himself. So, Kevin, what is your favorite thing?
All right, good. I like this. This is a show and a cast recording. I'm going to just say both.
Show and a cast recording.
So
got it.
It was an off-Broadway show.
Okay.
And it was unfortunate for this production to have opened October. No. It started preview September 7th, 2001. And it began shows then. And then, of course, 9/11 happened. And it was one of those shows that was probably very affected by 9/11. All of the reviewers loved this show because it had so much heart. And they said, well, this is exactly what New York needs right now. And it played at Playwrights Horizons. I got to say, just a quick shout out to Playwrights Horizons in the 90s and the aughts, because they produced, I mean, Violet, Floyd Collins. I mean, they were like at the forefront of composers and musical theater, I think. You know? And this show is one of them. It's based on a movie by Lee David Zlotoff. It's kind of a cult movie. It's called Spitfire Grill.
Kevin, you've stumped me.
What?
Finally.
What?
I've been stumped. I had no idea what you were going to say.
Yeah, but you
couldn't put the pieces together.
I should have told you the actors in it. Phyllis Somerville, who won a Tony nomination. We were talking about Over Here. She was nominated for a Tony Award for that.
And it is Over Here, not Over There.
Yes, it is Over Here. That made me laugh because I was like, we didn't know.
Liz
Calloway was in it.
Wow.
Stephen Pasquale was in it. Young Stephen Pasquale, and Garrett Long played the lead. This is a musical based on the movie, like I said, and it's about a young woman the journey of a young woman who starts out with her leaving prison, and she goes to a small Wisconsin town. It's a Maine town in the movie, but they move it to Wisconsin because the writers actually are from Wisconsin. And she starts a whole new life over in this sleepy little town that may or may not have its own little issues and is kind of stuck in a rut, you might say. And she starts working at a diner and meets these ladies at the diner. And it turns out they're going to sell the diner, try to get rid of it, but nobody wants it. So she finds a way to She talks about the diner in a really beautiful way that no one had ever really thought of it before. And it talks about the town and basically shows the people of the town a way to appreciate their lives in a way that they never had before. And in return, this really hard-edged girl sort of softens a little, and her life is changed as well by this town. And it's like a really heartfelt, beautiful story. The music is absolutely stunning. You might say it's a little Appalachian,
very cool.
Like it's kind of got a...
Why do I feel like there's a song from it that everyone sings at auditions?
There's quite a few, actually.
Okay.
Ladies, if you're of singers, you might want to look at Shine is the song that a lot of girls sing. But cut that bridge section down. She sings Shine way too much. She's like, Shine, Shine, Shine. All right, I get it.
I'm shining.
But it's like her 11 o'clock moment. It's like her finally accepting, you know, her life. Wild Bird is a great song, and you hear men sing Forest for the Trees.
That's it.
That's the one. It's a great song for guys.
Wait, is it Forest for the Trees or Forest through the Trees?
Forest for the Trees. Like, I couldn't see the Forest for the Trees. Like, you're seeing, you know, you see one thing or the whole, you know, and you finally sees, like, oh my gosh, you know, I appreciate what I have.
Got it. That's the one I hear a lot. I love that song.
The show is really good. I did it, so I know it a little more intimately because, you know, you hear it.
Where'd you do it at?
I did it at Northern Stage in Vermont where I met my wife actually playing Romeo and Juliet. Thanks, Northern Stage. But it's a nice professional theater up there in Vermont. And I played the Stephen Pasquale part, Joe, the detective or the police officer. But it needed one more revision. It's so close to being a really well put together show, but unfortunately the author he passed away like 8 months before it opened. So the composer then kind of took over and helped, you know, fine tune things in the script. But Fred Alley is the guy who wrote the book and lyrics, I believe, and then I forget the composer. That's terrible of me. I didn't even write it down. They won the Richard Rodgers Award actually.
Did they really?
Yeah, and. It Arthur Lawrence mentored them when they played at the George Street Playhouse in Jersey before it went to Playwrights, and Arthur Lawrence like took them under their James Valk, that's his name,
V-A-L-Q,
yes, okay. Sorry, gosh, guys, Fred Alley and James Valk, and it's a really really heartfelt, beautiful piece, and it needs a little tightening up here and there, but I think theaters across the country do it, and you still get the same message, you know, across the board, and the score is just stunning.
So this is a great intimate show.
Intimate. Well, there's only like six or seven people in the show.
So this is perfect for small spaces, boxes.
Northern Stage at the time they have a new theater now, but it was a thrust. Stage only 250 seats, all, you know, three court, and we had like a half. You have four. You have like the outdoor area, then you have a diner, and that's it. That's your set. And
it's so really cool.
Sweet. It's a sweet show.
I have never seen it.
Yeah,
is there a movie? Is there a movie?
There's a movie. Yeah, it's based on a movie that the guy that David Lee Zlotoff is. He wrote, I think he adapted it for it. Or it's based on his movie. No, he did the movie.
So it is based on it. Okay.
Yeah, and it's kind of a cult film. I forget who's in it, and someone like is listening right now and is like, duh, it's this person.
But, yeah.
It's same idea. I mean, it's the same effect. I think, though, the movie definitely ends differently.
Okay.
And I believe she like... Yeah, I believe it ends tragically.
Okay. Oh, no.
Yeah, we're not going to go there.
We can't have a tragic ending.
No, it does.
Not a musical.
Never.
They all got to be singing and dancing.
That's right. No, not much dancing, but it's definitely lots of great singing. Look up clips on YouTube. It's really, it's a fun little piece.
So you think it just needed one more revision?
It feels like it needs a little more focus, a little tightening up. Just a little bit, just in the second act. Just needs a little tightening up.
Yeah, and going back to Playwrights Horizons for a second, what is the name of that wonderful book? I think it's called Happily Ever After.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a book that talks about musical theater within the last few years, and it talks about how important places like Playwrights Horizons and Lincoln Center were in developing new
works. They cultivated those artists,
Yeah, because Playwrights Horizons had a lot of great stuff coming out of it. It was that, and like you said, Violet, and
Falsettos,
a lot of the Bill Finn
was there
stuff.
Too. And, the Bill Finn, yeah. I mean, like Bill Finn, Janine Tesori, Adam Gettle. I mean, like they were on it.
All the good
in the
folks.
Late 90s.
Yeah. That's so
really smart
cool.
Stuff. So this show's really great. It's unfortunate that 9/11, I mean, obviously it's, you know, but 9/11 affected so much theater in New York City. And this definitely, I think, was a casualty of that because, maybe an audience needed to find that heart, but maybe they weren't quite ready to go to the theater and be touched in that way quite yet.
Yeah, because wasn't it, and correct me if I'm wrong, but after 9/11, people wanted to escape a little bit in terms of theater, so they were more interested in things like Hairspray and Producers. And
Full Monty.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Where they're more joyful and celebratory.
Totally.
As opposed to something that might be a little bit more realistic.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that didn't really end for quite some time. It wasn't until, about maybe Spring Awakening or so that people were starting to accept musicals that had a little bit of a darker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I always find that so fascinating that when we're in times of crisis, we always go. It's like in the 1930s when the Depression happened and people started to go see the MGM musicals and they wanted to see those very delightful, sophisticated screwball comedies.
Yeah.
It's interesting how we do that. That's okay. So, but now it's time to come back to Spitfire Grill.
I say so. I would love to see it done in New York again.
That would be great.
To see that. Yeah.
All right. Is there a CD?
There is. There's a great cast recording of it.
You know what I'm going to download?
Do it.
Spitfire Grill.
Check it out. Check out this cast recording. It's really, that's really what this is about, is getting the cast recording out there. It's a really well written show.
Oh, awesome.
Especially the music.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater. Suf's creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. Suf's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Yeah. Yay! Okay, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. So what's yours today?
Oh my gosh. Well, I think I had mentioned a few weeks ago that I was really into that One More Kiss book by Ethan Mordden, which was about the 1970s.
Totally.
And this show, if we want to do a little connective tissue, is also quite intimate. In fact, it only features two people.
Is it I Do, I Do?
No.
Is it...
It is a score by Marvin Hamlisch.
Oh, they're playing our song.
They're playing our song.
Yeah.
They are playing our song. That is my favorite thing.
I forgot it's only two people.
It is. Yeah.
I don't know this show very well.
Oh, my God.
It's on my list of shows that I need to know, but I just, you know,
you would be great in it, actually. That's why you should know it.
Oh, my God.
All right. This podcast is really about what roles can Kevin play.
What can you direct?
And what theaters are doing them. You know, I'll be honest with you. They're playing our song is one of those musicals that if a theater company offered it to me and said, we will give you the actors, we will give you the space, and we will not pay you, I would go, that's fine with me.
For you love it that much.
I love it that much. There's a couple of those for me. They're playing our song, Gypsy.
Oh.
And here we go. No, no, Nanette.
You're lying.
I swear to God.
What?
If a
no,
theater
no, Nanette.
I love that show. I think it's so fun. I think it's so joyous. I think it's so wonderful. So, yes.
Okay.
Those are the three. If a theater company said to me, just come in, we'll give you everything you need, I would be like, great. I don't care where it's at.
I'm a happy little camper.
In the middle of Alaska, let's go. Give me my parka, give me my tap shoes, and hit it, Nanette.
Wow. But so they're playing our song.
They're playing our song.
It's Marvin Hamlisch, right? And Carol Bayer's
Sager. Yeah. Who now? Okay, now this.
No, weren't they? Oh.
Yes, they were a couple. This is really interesting. Wow. So Marvin Hamlisch and Carol Bayer Sager, and you know Marvin Hamlisch.
Of course. He's a musical prodigy.
I mean,
people don't realize it, but he went to Juilliard at like 14 or 15.
Yeah.
And he like conquered jazz music, and then he was like, what can I do now? And then he was like, I'll do show tune. I mean, he was a genius.
A Chorus Line. The film scores.
The Sting. Oscar for that. He was like 29 when he won an Oscar for that.
An amazing, brilliant man.
There's a great thing on PBS American Masters about Marvin Hamlisch that should be a favorite thing. I mean, it's an incredible expose on his life.
I haven't seen that yet.
You should check it out.
And it's on PBS, though.
You can watch it on like their website or something. Yeah.
It's him and Carol Bayer Sager, who was a lyricist, and they were actually in a relationship with each other. And they approached Neil Simon to write a musical, and it was actually going to be a musical version of Neil Simon's play The Gingerbread Lady. Do you know The Gingerbread Lady?
No.
It's not really a musical. It's the story of a woman who was played by Maureen Stapleton originally.
Uh-huh.
It's like an Elaine Stritch type role. It was a washed-up singer who has just come back from rehab and is trying to mend her relationships with all of her friends that she alienated while she was drinking, including her daughter.
That's great, actually.
And so they approached Neil Simon about making a musical version of that. And Neil Simon said that when they had their first production meeting, he was more fascinated by Marvin and Carol's relationship as professional songwriters and collaborators who were in a romantic relationship than the story of musicalizing The Gingerbread Lady. So he approached them and said, well, if we didn't do The Gingerbread Lady, could we maybe make a musical about your own relationship? And they said, yes, indeed.
That is wacky.
And so the music, if you don't know, they're playing our song. It's a story of a composer named Vernon, who's Jewish and neurotic and a prodigy.
Yep.
And Sonia Walsk, who is a lyricist who's kind of out there and kooky.
Uh-huh.
And so it's honestly, it's Marvin Hamlisch and Carol Bayer Sager. And you follow in the show their writing relationship as it evolves into a romantic relationship. And it's a two-hander. And the one thing that they did that was really interesting was they realized, well, if it's only two people on stage the whole time, it might get kind of boring.
Yeah.
So somebody, and nobody remembers who came up with this idea, decided that they would do a Greek chorus. Three men for him, three women for her, that could pop up in all the scenes, but they would be their alter egos, so they'd be identically dressed as Vernon and Sonia throughout the show. And the cool thing, the funny thing with Sonia is that she's kind of thrifty, so all of her wardrobe is costumes from shows that she had friends working on. So like she'll come in and she'll be wearing a sailor suit and she's like, oh yeah, my friend is doing Mr. Roberts. Or she'll come in and she looks like she's somebody from Sweet Charity and she goes, oh yeah, my friend's doing Sweet Charity somewhere.
That's wacky.
That's the joke. That's the idea behind it. And I think Marvin Hamlisch and Neil Simon met originally when they brought Neil Simon in to do book revisions, uncredited book revisions, on a chorus line.
What?
Yeah, Michael Bennett wasn't really happy with a lot of the dialogue on a chorus line because he said it needed to be funnier. In fact, when Michael Bennett was working on Follies, he kept telling Hal Prince, we really need to bring in Neil Simon to get some good book lines in there.
This was James Kirkwood's book. No.
James, and for a chorus line, yeah, it was James Kirkwood's book.
Yeah.
And so what happened... Pulitzer Prize winning James Kirkwood.
Thanks, Neil.
Thanks, Neil. Enjoy that Pulitzer.
Yeah.
Although I think he gets a royalty from uncredited.
Yeah.
And apparently the way what they used to do was Neil Simon would give Michael Bennett lines for a chorus line, and Michael Bennett would sit on a folding chair in front of the cast, and he would put the lines on the floor so he could see what the lines were going to be. And he would go, you know, Cassie, you need to say something a little spicier here. What could that be? And he would put his head down to look in between his legs like he was deep in thought. And what he was really doing was he was looking at the line Neil Simon gave him and said, oh, what if you said blah, blah, blah? And that's how some of those lines got in there.
Picking my jaw up off the floor.
And it was Marcia Mason. Because originally in a chorus line, when it was at the Public, Cassie did not get chosen for the show.
Right.
And it was Marcia Mason, who was Neil Simon's wife, who said, you know, you have to have her get in the show.
Yeah.
And so thank you, Marcia Mason.
Wow.
So I'm totally deviating.
No, but I love it.
So they're playing our song. It starred Lucy Arnaz, Lucille Ball's and Desi Arnaz's daughter as Sonia, and Robert Klein, the great comedian Robert Klein,
Vernon. Of course.
Who wasn't really a singer but could carry a tune
and
was neurotic and charming enough. It's actually very interesting. If you watch him sing, when he holds out notes, it kind of looks a little bit like he has Bell's palsy.
Oh.
But that's okay.
Okay.
That's okay. He's still fantastic.
He is
charming. And you know this song. If He Really Knew Me, Just For Tonight, a famous audition song, I Still Believe in Love. The score is really magnificent. The score is magnificent and wonderful.
I love Marvin Hamlisch's music. I think it's complex and fascinating.
I think these are the kings and queens of the 70s coming together to put on a show.
What year was...
Oh, sorry, 1979.
All right.
So you have Neil Simon. That's his heyday.
Yeah.
70s is his heyday in terms of book writing and playwriting. Marvin Hamlisch, who's at the top. Carol Bayer Sager, who's at the top. And all three of them are coming together to create a really fantastic, fantastic musical. And the pairings that went in after Robert Klein and Lucy Arnaz left, really fascinating. Like Victor Garber went in. Ellen Green, who played Audrey in Little Shop.
Yeah.
The most interesting one, and it's on YouTube, is Stocker Channing, who went in for
the
role. Rizzo. Or Abigail Bartlett for our West Wing fans, if you love that. And she is very interesting. One of the interesting things is on the Merv Griffin show, she sings I Still Believe in Love. And the other guest with Merv Griffin is Ethel Merman. I would have been crapping my pants. I have to sing I Still Believe in Love in front of Ethel Merman, the greatest musical comedy star ever. And Stocker Channing, not necessarily known for her musical ability.
Exactly.
Does it very lovely, I think.
Ethel Merman didn't pull any Woman of the Year opening night, you know.
Oh, jeez. What is that story?
Jesus. Yeah.
What is that story?
She went to like opening night with Leroy. Leroy told us it.
Yes.
They were in the third row, and like as soon as Lauren Bacall started singing, she's like, oh, Jesus Christ. And the whole audience could hear it. Stuff of legends.
It's really, I love that. I love that. So you look at that YouTube clip. I'm surprised it hasn't been revived.
Well, I was going to ask you, because, you know, I'm familiar with it, but why aren't theaters doing it all the time, or are they? I feel like was it a hit at the time?
It was a huge hit.
Yeah.
It was a massive hit. Critically, it was okay.
Yeah.
But audiences loved it.
Huh.
Tony Roberts went in. I mean, it was a real. It was a.
What's the like mess? What do you walk away with when you like get done with that at the night?
I think you walk away going, "What a fun evening in the theater."
Okay, so yeah,
I think that's the message.
Fluff and no stuff, really. But
it.
Yeah, yeah,
it's real, but it's so well done, and the music is so gorgeous. And the book, I think, is incredibly funny. The characters are really well drawn out. Mm-hmm. I don't know why people don't do it more. The last time I think it was in New York, they did it as an Actors Fund concert.
Oh.
And it was Seth Rudetsky and Sutton Foster, which I...
What a pairing.
It's, you know what, I
did
will
they,
say...
How was their sexual chemistry?
There was they have a really good rapport with each other. We'll,
no,
we'll
I'm
put
sure.
it we'll,
playful,
we'll,
playful.
It was a playful rapport with each other. But it was a really, I think it's a really wonderful show. I think it should be brought back, if not on Broadway, off Broadway. I think if you're looking for a really charming piece of musical theater, look into their Playing Our Song. It also feels very much of its time period.
Yeah.
So I think the idea of, you know, a man and a woman in a working relationship and a romantic relationship, you know,
And finding that balance.
Yeah,
and all that.
I think
yeah.
that's really what's going on. And so it's an interesting piece. It's a really lovely piece. And I encourage people to take another look at it.
Yeah. I want to see the revival with Bobby Lopez and Kristen Lopez. It'll be great.
Now that's nice. That's a very smart
That'd
idea.
That'd be the contemporary version.
That is a very
They're the ones
smart
who wrote
idea.
Let It Go, just in case anyone was like, who are they? But yes.
If Lin-Manuel's looking for a revival, that might be
Hello.
Fun. Hello. Get out there. Hamilton's not going to last forever. You're not going to throw away your shot. Do they're playing our
Come
song,
on.
Please, we want you. So that's
all right,
so
I'll check it out.
Yeah, so it looks like this week is intimate musicals.
Yeah, it is. We didn't even. Someone asked me if we planned this, if we exchanged notes before, and we truly do not.
No.
When, if there is a segue, it's a coincidence. If there isn't a segue, we find one.
We really reach
this
for that
time. Not so much intimate musicals for the win.
Intimate musicals. So please, theater companies all across the world, if you're looking for something, do Spitfire Grill and do their Playing Our Song.
That's right.
Have some fun. Thanks for joining us this Throwback Thursday. I'm Rob Schneider.
I'm Kevin David Thomas,
and we will see you guys next week.
Later.
Take care.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.